Here we go. Hello, everyone. We are live. This is The Week in Geek. You are joined by the Geek Bombshells. Hello, my name is Maud Garrett. You can catch me at Maud Garrett, M-A-U-D-E-G-A-R-R-E-T-T. This is what we do every single week. Basically, we have the coolest people in one panel talking about all the things that happen in the geek world. Sure. I'd like to introduce everyone on the panel to next to me. This is Danny.
Hello.
We've got Steph, you know, it's Hex, Ben Dixon, hosts Good Game and Good Game Spawn Point.
Hi.
Also incredibly attractive. Don't know if you figured that out yet. Maybe you're blind. Everyone pull your ugliest face on three. One, two, three.
Thanks. I was really late
to that. That was pretty good.
Danny, obviously being a part of Geek Bomb also, she's the online editor and she also does all the tech reviews. Maddie, cosplay extraordinaire, you may know her as Ziana. Her Twitter tag handle is at Ziana. Sorry, I missed your Twitter handle too, at Danny, two eyes, face lips.
Yep.
And Taz, she's the tech extraordinaire. At TazPans is where you can catch her. Say hello.
Hey.
And every week we get a fanboy or a fangirl. So if you have subscribed to the YouTube channel and you like us on Twitter and Facebook, it could be you on the panel. And this time it is Richard. Make him feel welcome. Hi, Richard.
Yay. Hi, Richard.
You can find him on Twitter at Richard the Nerd.
I've got to ask. I've had quite a few... that's me. Look, I'm sorry for cutting you off then, Maud, but I've been here for about an hour trying to get my really old, outdated computer up and running, and I'm sorry to everyone watching, but I'm still setting it up. So forgive me if I'm kind of like.
We have a lot of patience
for a few minutes.
That's an epic figurine collection you're rocking in the background there. Nice one.
Yeah, look, it's I do take pride in
just like camera adjustment there.
I do love comic books, but I'm mainly DC. Like, I do love all comic books, you know, of all sorts. But I've got my Justice League, and God damn it, we need a movie. Everything else has been done.
You're like, I'm the highest.
Yeah, look, I've got to ask girls. This is a really technical and unprofessional question. However, my sign here, is it backwards or is it
backwards?
No, it's backwards. Oh, no,
it's right.
No, that confused me as well. It's only looked that way to you.
No, you're doing good.
All right,
you're doing good.
Everything's mirrored. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Very good. I'm happy.
Trying to kick things off, doing a bit of get to know you. I go through and ask five questions. It's quick fire. You do not think. You just answer as soon as you hear the question. Is everyone ready?
Yes. Well,
Danny, don't read it. We'll start off with you. What is your favorite joke to tell?
What did the snail say when it was riding on the back of the turtle?
Go faster.
Whee!
Cool. The second question is, what's the biggest life achievement thus far?
I performed at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in front of a crowd of 2,500 people, and it got broadcast on the ABC as part of Raw Comedy.
That'll do it. What's your middle name?
Virginia Ann Monica.
That's awesome. Three of them.
Yep. Pick one. Any name.
Why are you Danny Facelips?
Facelips came about when I was playing a rock band with some friends a few years back, and we created our avatars, and she looked really angry. And they said, give her an angry name, and I just went, Facelips. And I'm like, that sounds good. Everyone call me that from now on.
And we have. Finish this sentence. If I could shoot someone in the face, it'd be?
I'm a pacifist. I like everyone. Sorry. That's the most boring answer I could have given.
Nice. That's what comes to your head, and that's what we do here. Steph, you are next. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What is the best game you've ever played ever?
Oh. Probably The Witcher 2. It's my favourite. I love Geralt.
On your Tumblr, and people can find it at hexington.tumblr.com, if you could only post one thing for the rest of your life, would it be forests or food?
Forests.
Okay. Ooh. What fictional character would you leave your man for?
Geralt from The Witcher.
You're not supposed to have favourites, but you have two cats. Which one's your favourite?
Oh, that's mean.
Merlin. He's my firstborn.
Oh, okay. And what is the one thing that you like about Geek Bomb?
I love how inclusive it is, and you're getting fans and stuff involved in this awesome hangout and stuff like that. It's cool.
A lot of stuff. All right. Thank you so much. That wasn't so painful.
No.
Richard, take a
second.
You're
really easy on me.
A little bit. Well, I'm not going to say, what do you call your bottom? That's just weird. Richard, are you ready?
Oh, as ready as I'll ever be.
Cool. Number one, what is the first console you ever owned?
Atari, built-in, 64 built-in games. Awesome.
Nice. What game made you a gamer?
Mario 64 and Zelda. It's kind of a tie.
Nice. What movie could you watch forever?
Empire Strikes Back.
What character have you got a crush on?
The Empire or any character?
Oh, any character. Any character have you got a crush on?
Wonder Woman.
Nice. And how did you find Geek Bomb?
Instagram.
Yeah, wow. Super. I didn't know that. I'm learning things here. I'm actually conducting a subtle survey. At the same time.
You're just collecting facts for you.
Yeah, good one. Snakey. Yeah.
That was good. Now, Maddie, it is you. Are you ready?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm ready.
What is the best reaction you've had to a cosplay?
Oh, my God, you look just like Zelda. I was dressed as Link.
Oh, no. Sacrilegious.
You're in Dubai right now. Tell us a random Dubai fact.
It was a British colony until 1971. I didn't know that. I only found that out yesterday.
That looks like a proper fact.
That is a good fact. What is your game of the year for 2013?
Bioshock Infinite.
Finish the sentence. Oh my God, you look totally like
Zelda. No. Pass.
Russia.
Awesome. Three words to describe, or three words on why Stargate is the tits.
Jonas Quinn, mm-hmm. Daniel Jackson, mm-hmm. Teal'c. Enough
technically
said.
Five words, but that'll pass.
No, she didn't. That was to signal, one
oh,
word.
Oh, slate. Gotcha.
One word.
Yeah. Just time. Yeah. Getting to know. Now, Tara, yes. You and I are the only people that have been in this twice. Episode 1, which we called A New Hopeless, and episode 2, Beers, Pizza, and Tea.
I feel like
I'm better. Are you ready for 5 questions?
Yeah, hit me with it.
How many drinks until you're drunk?
I don't know, 15?
Whoa.
Wow. Whoa, what a hard
one. Is 4.
15 teaspoons.
I wish I could
do 4. Yeah.
Cara, get help.
15 sips.
Okay. What is the last game you finished?
Assassin's Creed.
96%.
99%.
Hey!
Yeah.
What is the funniest? What's the funniest Geek Bomb comment you've read?
Funniest?
The weirdest.
There's a pretty funny one right now that just says "Arg Hex Moist." That I think is pretty enjoyable.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hex, how do you feel about that comment?
Oh, man, that's child's play compared to what I get on a daily basis.
Hug. Back to you, Taran.
Yeah, the nerves me. Yeah.
Oh, no, there's one here. Richard, please take your shirt off so I can motorboat you.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That's just for me.
That was really creepy.
Sorry, I'm one beer in already.
I'm uncomfortable.
You're no.
Three to go, Mort. Three to go.
So, Tara, how many headsets do you own?
Seven.
Jesus.
Seven. Cool. And the last question, out of all the questions that we've asked to get to know you, whoa, what are the colour of your underpants?
Pink. Yeah, there you go, that works.
In theme with Geek Bomb. Well, guys, that was getting to know everyone. Don't
wait
forget,
a second.
If you asked...
No. We haven't asked you any questions yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are your 5 questions? I figure we could do one each.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you can ask my
idea.
My question to you,
yeah, right,
LA or Australia?
Oh, you bitch.
Okay. Hey, I could have gone worse than that.
That's true. That's true. I know, you definitely could have. They've both got their perks, but every time I come back to Sydney, I miss it so much. Sydney.
Cool. Maddie, you've got a question?
They're like,
what's the best fangirl moment you've had?
I busted
a billion. Yeah.
Every time, I can't even form sentences just thinking about it. Nathan Fillion. I met him, and I was so composed when I got a photo with him. But then afterwards, I burst into tears. I was rendered speechless for over an hour. There you go. Good question.
Danny?
Yeah. What was your most embarrassing moment in the spotlight?
Usher pulled me onto his lap mid-interview, and that made me incredibly uncomfortable. And because he's really short, his face was here.
Oh, God.
So I was like, wow, you look like you could motorboat me. And he's like, motorboat? What's that? And I told him. And then he's like, I ain't gonna motorboat you, but you can banana boat me.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that is.
I'm hoping he didn't either.
I don't want to know that is, but it sounds bad.
All right. Do you have a question?
Me?
Yes.
Maud, I want to know what your spirit animal is.
Oh. Flamingo.
Yeah, I can see that. That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, and Richard?
If you could marry a male or female celebrity that you interviewed, who would it be, and not including Nathan Fillion?
Cameron Diaz.
Really?
Well, yeah, we're talking marriage here, though. We're not talking like a quick fling. Like, are you wanting to spend the rest of your life with Cameron Diaz, like in holy matrimony?
She is so great.
She'd be a good housewife for you.
Yeah,
so
come on.
She'd bring in the dollars.
Yeah. Well, now we know where your priorities lie.
She let me teach her to burp. Like, what a woman. Well, I can't ask for anything more than that.
She seems pretty cool. I don't think she's the marrying kind, though.
No, I know.
Bodily functions seem to be your go-to when interviewing people.
I noticed that also. Maybe I should clean things
up. There was a phlegm reference with Simon Pegg earlier.
I am now officially known as Phlegm Girl to him. Yes. That's another one.
Nice.
I was you won't thinking, forget
it. I'd like to be known as anything by Simon Pegg.
He's such a dude, man. Oh, he's awesome. So that is getting to know every single person here. Don't forget when you see our faces up there, you can see our Twitter handles. So make sure that you all follow us. And if you are streaming, you can talk to us. There is a comment section. Make sure you do comment in there.
Keeping an eye on it.
She's constantly going to be interjecting.
I have a couple of questions, a couple of comments that I want to address quickly. Someone asked if I was in a bathroom. I am in a bathroom. I'm in Maud Garrett's hotel room bathroom because we had echo in the main room. So that's why I'm not in my own bathroom. That's a bit weird. Other words. Hey, Daddy.
Time travel.
Okay.
Sorry. There's like a couple more. A couple of people saying you have an awesome collection, Richard. Saber is attesting to my 15 drinks. Good work. That's about it for now.
So at the moment, because I'm only back in town for not very long at all, I fly back to LA tomorrow. This is my hotel room that everyone's glad to come to, and we've got beers and pizza, and you guys are having tea, which is why this episode is called Beers, Pizza, and Tea. But yeah, Tara is in my bathroom currently, and Danny is next to me.
That looks like a fancy pizza. Bit of aioli drizzled on there.
Tandoori chicken with a I think it's a yogurt cucumber.
It has a puff pastry base, so it's mind blowing.
I've got soda water. Look, soda water! Yay!
The rest of this hangout is just about the pizza.
And the fact that Steph has a mug at the size of her face. How much tea is in
there? Hey, I am serious about tea. That's not even my biggest mug.
What kind of tea are you having right now?
This is just the Twinings chai, but I have like a creepy library of just like so many different teas. People come over and I'm like, what would you like?
From the selection. So moving on with the show, we do something, the first topic is... Tara, can we play this, Dings? Yep.
Yes, if you speak slightly longer about what you're doing, I will switch that up.
What we've done is break the show up into segments. This segment is called So Hot Right Now.
Were you trying to talk in slow-mo? Because you just sounded like a crazy person.
I thought. You just sounded a bit special, if anything. We accept more the way she is.
Really is it just because
speech impediment?
Really hot.
That we don't notice that people talk like this.
Oh, there we go. You guys kind of missed it, but to play the start of the segment.
There was a thing.
Oh, go on, Richard. You are just a face. I know you're back again. Oh, technology's the best. So what? So hot right now is we just go through the major things that have happened this week in Geek. Danny, we're going to kick off with you. You've got a Fallout 4 rumor to talk about.
Yes, the net has been going crazy this week because a Reddit user on the 14th of November discovered a page that is the survivor2299.com, and there was an encrypted message regarding Fallout on it. And since then, there has been Morse code going up on the website, more encrypted messages, and the net is just going crazy trying to figure out whether or not Fallout 4 is actually happening or if it's a massive internet hoax. The first encrypted message that came up stated the date, I believe, the 7th of the... I believe it was actually the 11th of December. Sorry, don't quote me on that. But either way, the date has passed. So people are like, oh, hang on, that must be fake. But regardless of that, more updates continue to go up on the website. Some of the arguments against it, saying that it's fake, some people are saying, would a professional gaming company actually do this? I think they might, because this is actually a really successful viral campaign so far. Everyone is talking about it, and everyone is excited. So I completely agree I disagree with that point, saying that, yeah, absolutely they would do that. Bethesda haven't said a thing about it. They haven't said that it's bullshit, but they also... not confirmed that it's not real as well. So everyone's asking questions. The other thing that's to note, though, is that the website where all these encrypted messages are coming up was actually registered by the Bethesda parent company, ZeniMax. So there are lots of fors and against with this. Go look at the website. We'll put a link in the description for you because more and more encrypted messages are coming up. Some examples are, calling all stations, this is Vault 119, SOS, our overseer is dead, nuclear winter is coming, and it's getting more and more convoluted. But my favorite thing about this is that they put Morse, they had audio Morse code playing in the background, and the internet figured it out. That is my favorite thing.
The internet, what can it not do?
And every single encrypted code that's coming up, the internet's like 5 seconds. They've decoded it before it's actually posted fully on the website.
This is like a real-life Ready Player One, isn't it?
True. Yeah, we'll
it's amazing because a lot of people are doing these kinds of augmented reality things now to get people involved in this kind of online detective story in itself. Yeah. And you always have some people that think that this stuff is real, other people that think it's fictional, but it's always so exciting because you feel like the power of the hive mind really comes to life when these kinds of stunts are pulled. I feel like I've got to be skeptical, though, because I always fall for these things and they always end up being hoaxes and then I end up sad.
I'm skeptical. I really want it to be real because Fallout's my favorite game. So
it's probably the best marketing strategy ever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the internet is such a huge resource to kind of really tap into it, manipulate it in such a way to advertise a video game. Well,
I reckon that if it is fake, I reckon Bethesda are kicking themselves because they've seen how successful it is and just going, well, shit.
Who didn't think of that? You're fired. Totally. My favorite thing that I found on Reddit with Fallout as well is, you know, the
like, it's probably, it could be, if it's successful, it could be, that's a delay. It could be like a hint towards the plot as well. Like, if it's going to be post-apocalyptic or something, maybe all technology or there's been a massive EMP or something that's gone off, and maybe this is their way to allude to the story by, you know, suggesting, you know, Morse code, which is one of the original forms of long-distance communication. So if it's real, it's real and I'm correct, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sure beats a text-only teaser trailer with dubstep in the background, that's for sure.
That was like the year of 2013, wasn't it?
Right? Coming!
2014! And the fact that you've used Morse code really keeps it to the theme of the game, which I love. It makes this part of it. So I really hope it's real, genuinely, and only time will tell now.
Would this encourage you to purchase the game even more so?
Yes, absolutely. Completely.
I mean, if there's going to be more of that kind of augmented reality stuff involved in it, then absolutely. I love that kind of... did you guys even play The Secret World? The MMO?
No.
It had a lot of that kind of stuff in it. Like, you had to kind of go, like, you know, look stuff up online to solve certain quests and things like that. And that was so cool. I like that.
That is probably, like, a real untapped genre, like, out of all the things there, because we're seeing, you know, first-person shooters is successful if we do this, let's just churn them all out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, we like to assassinate a bunch of people, let's just churn that out. This is honestly, like, the most untapped thing where you really, you're tested, not only, like, within the game, but within the world and life. I don't know, maybe we need to be mentally stimulated a little bit more, and I think it's kind of refreshing that us as a society, we're actually up for it. We're not like, oh, that's too hard, I'm lazy.
I like that the internet
I think Call of Duty Ghosts is the biggest indication that we need to be more mentally stimulated by a game.
There's an interesting comment by Awake Island, and he said the internet could really solve more actual world problems if they weren't playing games, which is kind of depressing.
Well, but if you make solving the problem an actual game, therefore you...
Well, haven't they done that already? Remember those bunch of kids that solved that thing that was like a little weird cancer-like molecule gamers have those skills because they're honing those skills on a daily basis, man.
And there's nothing to say that the internet can't use their skills for both games and to solve
good and
problems
evil.
As well.
For the great
games are evil. Calm down.
need to exist for gamification.
Yes.
All right, that was the first one. Maddie, it's over to you. You were talking about the most underwhelming moments in the geek world for 2013. We are coming to an end of this year. It is December already, so we're using the whole month of December to talk about the best ofs, the worst ofs, and in this case, the underwhelmings. Maddie, over to you.
Okay. Look, I think this is going to be quite a controversial thing that I'm saying. I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me. But I've got at number 5, Man of Steel. Literally the most underwhelming film I've ever watched. I was like, Superman! Watched it, just Russell Crowe was the best part of that film.
That's saying something!
Really depressing. That's really, really depressing. I mean, I love Henry Cavill and all that, but oh yeah, love the Lycra. He's got a nice little...
He's a beautiful man.
Suit.
I feel like I walked out of that movie. You know when you kind of like first leave a cinema and you've just got like that kind of post-movie amazing, you know, just blew you away feeling. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was kind of like, wait a minute. I love how they destroyed the whole city. And then it's like,
yeah,
back to work on Monday.
A lot of people.
That was another thing. And they kind of drew a little bit of attention to being in the building going, wow, what's happening? But like the repercussions.
My favourite part was the idiom of plot holes.
Books I'm reading at the moment is Superman Unchained. And it's kind of a standard superhero comic book. Like the first run of the recent Justice League saw cities around the world just decimated, millions of people killed. And when you see that on a movie screen, it obviously hits you a lot harder. And I think I liked Man of Steel because it inevitably is leading towards, you know, the Justice League. But and with the whole Ben Affleck thing as well, Batman. But it was joyless. And there's always, no matter how dire a situation is, Superman always remains optimistic. But
he hardly spoke through that whole film. Like, Superman, the movie's named after him. He's the main character, and he must have spoke maybe, like, 4 times in the entire movie.
Yeah.
That's because he's really, really ridiculously good looking and he doesn't need to open his mouth because it wrecks the facade of gorgeousness. I didn't like Amy Adams cast as Lois Lane. I really didn't like
really?
Her.
Really? Oh, no, I love her. I thought
no.
She was
no.
Lois.
No.
No.
No. No. Awful. No chemistry at all between
I liked her casting.
No chemistry. Awful.
No chemistry.
She's better than Kate Bosworth. Okay.
We don't talk about that movie, Hex, okay? You don't mention the giant white circles.
Well, that was number 5 out of the most underwhelming. Guys, make sure you use the comment section to weigh in on the opinions as well. What's number 4?
Look, it's another movie. I'm sorry, but this is I was just thinking about it. I only just recently watched this, and it's got to be The Wolverine. You know, I saw the trailers for it, didn't get excited. And I just saw the trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past. And that, you know, really makes you feel, you're like, oh my God, awesome. I cannot wait to see this movie. Saw the trailer for The Wolverine, and I was just like, cool. Meh. I watched it on the plane coming to Dubai. That's when I watched it. Awful. Hated it.
I found with Wolverine, it was like, hey, here's a movie, it's your movie, and he's like, wow, life's so hard, life's tough. Hey, come to Japan. Okay, adventure.
It's just hard as well because Wolverine is like the like only really widespread popular character that they could make an origin, you know, single films about. It'd be so much nicer if we could explore the origin stories of other, you know, members of the X-Men cast. Mm. But
it'd be so nice to
none of them are popular enough to be able to do that.
That's my vendetta.
It's such a shame. And the last Wolverine movie...
I thought with Wolverine, I only watched it recently.
Mm. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's a bit of delay.
Bit of a delay,
yeah.
What's up, Richard?
Oh, no, I think I've delayed about 8 seconds. Yeah, sorry, I'll go back to what I was saying. The Wolverine, I only watched it recently on Blu-ray, and I thought it was actually really good. It was really interesting. To be a superhero film without being a superhero film, it was kind of like but then I know The Silver Samurai is massive, it's arguably the best Wolverine comic by drawn by Frank Miller and Chris Claremont. God, I would have lost points getting over that. And then towards the end, the whole Silver Samurai bit just seemed out of place. Superhero,
so random.
Villain seemed out of place in a superhero film sounds ridiculous, but I thought it was mostly good, and then,
it kind of
was. And plus, you saw it on a plane, and films are often edited on planes. Hmm. So you may have seen a different version as well.
I could have, but I couldn't watch it. I was in my car.
I think that's a tall order.
Huh? I just like that in that.
You probably just didn't like it because you saw it on a plane.
I just like that in that film.
I just didn't like it because I didn't like it. Sorry, Danny.
Yeah, I just like that.
Actually,
all the scenes in Japan
that reminds me, you're seeing a flight version. the Chinese guy. Yeah, right. I saw Love Actually on a plane years ago when it came out, actually. And right at the end, I don't know if you guys remember Love Actually, but Martin Freeman's character and the girl from Gavin and Stacey, they're porn stars, whatever. And there's a lot of scenes of them just talking and doing their thing.
Yeah.
The version I watched only had them show up right at the end saying hello to or goodbye to someone because they were going off on their wonderful honeymoon. And I was so confused. I had no idea who those two were or why they were important to the plot. And then someone said, oh, no, they're porn stars. They build a relationship during their scenes together. So those their whole scenes were completely taken out of the flying version. So it happens because anyone can watch it. Kids can watch it. They can't enforce that. So it does happen.
Mommy, what's a porn star?
I'm obviously not trying to defend The Wolverine because it was okay. It was great. It was okay,
but I thought it was just totally disappointing. I was completely underwhelmed, completely by that whole movie. Yeah. Okay, so I'll just move on to number 3. Yeah. Who can remember SimCity this year? The debacle that was SimCity.
I'm glad we all do, Maud, but that was probably the most horrifying launch of any game.
Oh, that's so true. I missed all that. I only got the game for the first time like 2 weeks ago. So I missed all of that.
You missed it.
The worst. And also, the fact that you had to, like, to be able to call EA support, I think they even got, like, a like, shoddy business award for this. To call EA support, it was something like $1.50 a minute just to tell them, like, to talk to them about how to fix all these problems.
No, you can't charge for help.
You couldn't even play.
I gave a shit.
If you screwed up, you can't then charge someone because it's your fault. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, now I'm surprised it was only number three.
Just dreadful.
Well, once all the problems were solved, more or less, like, it's a really freaking good game.
I mean, you got to weigh it up. It's a good game.
Just the launch.
How much did that impact the sales?
I mean, I think it would have, because the launch issues weren't solved within, like, a few days or even a week. Like, it just went on and on and on, and, you know, people were furious. People wanted their money back. People, you know, word spread pretty quickly that it was virtually unplayable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Number three.
Okay. Okay, so this is my number two and my number one. I think maybe I should have swapped them around, but I'll just keep going with it. The first announcement of the Xbox One, I think, is completely disappointing. Totally, completely underwhelming. Yeah. Yes. I mean, all the DRM crap. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that? All that. Ah, no worries. The DRM stuff and, like, oh, you know, you have to play online and. It was just really, I think they launched it way too early. They didn't really know what they were talking about. And
I had PS4
it was just like, here, look at Call of Duty.
They just didn't explain it very well. And it's so frustrating because now that I have an Xbox One and I'm using all the voice commands and stuff, you know, you have to say play disc. You can't just say play whatever game unless you bought it online and it's just a digital download only, which is so annoying. I want to just be able to say, like, whatever games I have, play this, play that. Yeah. But now that you have to have the disc in the drive, you know, what they originally intended was for you to be able to buy games online, digitally only. You wouldn't have to have the disc. Or once, if you bought the disc, you'd install it once and that's it. And then you could share it with like 10 of your friends or something like that. And then you just
sharing
have
a game on Xbox?
Only system. And now I feel like we're still really behind in the technology, putting these clunky discs in there and, you know, all that kind of stuff. If they'd explained it better, people, I think, would have been more on board.
Yeah. It's just, you know, like, I'm an Xbox girl. I'm an Xbox girl, and when I heard that, I was like, no, what are you doing? Like, come on, like, the PlayStation fanboys are going to have a field day, and they did. And, you know, I was totally disappointed. Microsoft. Okay, number one. I don't think you guys are going to agree with me, so I'm going to get ready to hide.
This is your top five?
Yeah, this is my top five, but getting ready to hide. But I think that probably the most underwhelming thing that has happened to me this year is the Doctor Who finale.
Whoa!
Wow!
Hang on!
Okay, all right, please, let me just clarify. Let me clarify.
I'm going to Dubai.
I loved it.
That's why you had to leave the country.
Just start swimming. Swim to Dubai. Start swimming now. Let me clarify. I really liked it. I was like, John Hurt was amazing. I thought he was great. But let's not overlook the extremely large plot holes of the everything that went on.
There's always plot holes in Doctor Who.
I know, that's insane. Never mind the plot holes.
It's like, we don't care about the regeneration rule, that's fine, just wave our hands and go forward. Oh, we don't care about Gallifrey being in a pocket universe frozen in time, doesn't make sense. I don't know. I loved... Huh? What did you say?
You just spoiled the whole episode, if anyone hasn't
seen it. I haven't seen it.
Spoiler! Oh, shit! Put the spoiler on there.
I'm sorry if my sister's watching.
Oh, this is a live stream.
You have just committed nerd heresy.
Oh, God!
Sorry,
now you're just trying to hide.
That's my most underwhelming moment. That moment right then.
Preparing for comments?
Yeah. good luck with that.
I loved it. But, no, okay, it wasn't underwhelming. Disappointing was a better word. I thought that the 5-minute episode
so
with
worse.
Paul McGann was. I thought the 5-minute episode with Paul McGann what, the Night of the Doctor, whatever it was called. I thought that was way more interesting than half of the 50th.
I kind of want to open up a question, and it's a question to everyone watching. It's a question to the panel. What big thing has been spoilt for you?
Ooh.
For me, I was doing a podcast, and they're like, have you seen Breaking Bad? And I said, no. And I started to say, but I really want to invest 5 seasons soon. And he told me the end of the finale.
Ouch.
That I wasn't allowed to be upset about it.
That's the worst.
I just got up to season 5. I'm really behind. I've just started up to season 5, so I freaked out then when you started talking.
No, I was not going to do it, but that's what was spoiled for me. What was spoiled for you, Denny?
I'm a massive fan of How I Met Your Mother, and the official Facebook page for How I Met Your Mother, run by the people that make the show, sent out an update. This is sort of a spoiler, though. All right, I'm going to try and word this. We met a very big character, and they tweeted a picture of this character 5 minutes after the show aired in America, after the premiere, to over 1.2 million
rookies.
Followers. So it came up, something big that we've been waiting for literally
seven seasons.
It's pretty obvious what I'm talking about, but just in case there are some people out there that can't work it out.
It's the puppies!
Thanks, Maud. Anyway, yeah, they tweeted out a picture of her saying, we met the mother! Screenshot! And every single comment was the most fire-breathing hatred. I have I have never posted a mean comment on the internet. I'm too conscious of hurting people's feelings. I posted a mean comment that day.
And you are not a nice person.
Yeah, it was really nice too. Like, I wasn't happy with how this was handled. I hope you are aware of it.
I hope my passive aggressiveness slapped you in the face.
Everything else you're doing is great. Keep it up.
Yeah. I'm pretty good with spoilers, I think. You know, if there's something that I don't want to be spoiled, I will, like, go into, like, radio silence, and I will go, like, dark at, you know, stay off Twitter, stay off everything. Tumblr's really bad because people love to put those little screen caps with the subtitles, and they always... Yeah. As soon as the episode is aired in the States, somebody's gone through there and made their little gifs or whatever. They're, like, right on with those. But the only thing that's ever really been spoilt for me, and even this doesn't really matter because I'm not, like, a massive Harry Potter fan, but, you know, there's a substantial death that happens in that series.
Yes.
I don't want to say just on the off chance, but that I remember I was on the train and I overheard somebody talking about it. And I was like, oh... But then I didn't really care.
Oh. Okay, here's a fun one. This really shows what kind of person I am. I read the last book. When I was at Nickelodeon, we used to grant wishes, and one of the wishes was for the girl to be the first person in Australia with the final book. And I was there with her, and I was just as excited as she was. And the bookstore gave me a copy, so I went home, and I read the book until I finished it. So I knew everything before everyone else. And anyone who was reading the book, I walked past them, and I went, oh, man, Ron dies.
Oh, no.
And then, like, turning the page, they're just like, what?
Do you ever see people, like, on the bus and they're reading Game of Thrones, and if you look at what book they're reading and you can see, like, how far into the book they are, and you can kind of judge whereabouts in the story they are, and you're like, oh, dude, I know what you're coming up to and you're not going to be happy.
I haven't read the book. Don't say anything. Yeah. Oh, God.
Who hasn't said what's been spoiled? Richard, I think it's up to you. I'll talk to you in 8 seconds.
In the Simpsons, there's an episode where Homer walks in and says, I can't believe Darth Vader's not Skywalker's, you know. That pretty much sums up everyone I talk to, because people all know that I love movies, and they always come up to me and go, oh, how good is it? He dies! Which is frustrating because they know that I watch it, but they don't quite realise that the room's full of people who potentially haven't watched it, who potentially will enjoy it a lot. My dad was notorious for this. He would say, "Oh, I watched that DVD you rented," and I'm like, "Oh, okay. I haven't obviously rented a long time ago, real one." So I haven't watched it. It's like, "Oh, it's really good. He died."
Oh, no.
And so I don't talk movies with my dad ever, because my sister's like that too. She does that. She does the whole, oh, you got to watch. I'm like, stop talking.
I feel like everyone has to go through that experience.
So, people really need to feel
lesson learning. When they just
because I've watched it, you know.
I think everyone has to go through that experience of lesson learning, yeah, where you just, you know, you spoil one really major thing for a bunch of people, and then you cop the wrath that you know, as a result of that reveal, and then you kind of never do it again after that.
I once ruined a surprise party. I know that feel.
I'll never do it again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Maddie, we're going to skip over you because you spoiled Doctor Who.
I'm sorry.
Kaz, what's been spoiled for you?
I'm pretty sure I had Red Wedding spoiled for me in book form, because I hadn't read that far before the show came out. And then on top of that, I also had Firefly because of Serenity. I hadn't watched Firefly before Serenity. Someone told me the ending of Serenity. Luckily, I didn't really piece it together as I was watching Firefly.
I'm a leaf on the wind!
So I didn't really register that was going to happen later, but yeah, I still, that was pretty bad.
Fantastic. All right, that moves us on from the top five most underwhelming things that happened in the geek world. We're going to move on really quickly because we are just chatting a lot. So we'll pace through these ones. Tara, it's up to you. We're doing a discussion on why people feel the need to compare Battlefield 4 and Call of Duty's Ghost. You're saying that they just shouldn't be compared, everyone always likes to pair them up together. Let's discuss.
Everyone pairs them up because they're both first-person shooters, obviously. I mean, there's always going to be that comparison.
And they're released around the same time.
True, exactly. And then I guess it's similar to how I think people compare Forza and Need for Speed. I think they're two completely different leagues of racing games. But because they do come out at the same time, and you know, people automatically think that they're going to be very similar. Just quickly, I don't want to get too far into it because we've got no time. But I don't think you can compare Battlefield and Call of Duty. I think that they're ridiculously different games. You've got one that's really sort of sensationalized, which is Ghost. Obviously, the stories they have fantasy elements. They're not really realistic at all. But they're really fun to play, and if you like that sort of story, you're going to go for that one. And then you've got Battlefield, which, without saying it's realistic, it is closer to realistic, and that's what they're going for. So I think if you want to go in and you want to play a war game simulator, then you're going to go in and play that rather than playing Ghost of the Story. And I think that's
so you're saying that we all need to just not put them in the same boat at all. It's just because they're first-person shooters. They come out around the same time. And I think the reason why they're compared a lot is because games are expensive, and when you buy a game, you're preparing to put in 50 hours maybe to a game, especially if it's online. So I think it's people compare because it's either or. I'm only going to buy one. Which one should I get?
That's not unreasonable. I just think that you're going to pick one because it's the game that you want to play, not because you think it's better than the other one. I think that they're just in different categories. Even if you're only picking one, I think naturally you're going to go towards one. You're going to go towards that story element, or you're going to go towards the realism. So you don't have to compare them. You'll be automatically drawn towards one.
It's funny, though, because it's such a part of nerd culture as well to pick a side, whether it's Xbox or PlayStation
versus,
or Battlefield or COD or Marvel or DC.
They want
a team that they can jump on the side of, but I think in the case of Battlefield and COD, it's just they're too different, and they're appealing to different markets. The devs of COD even quoted saying once that they don't even make Call of Duty for gamers, really. They're so mass market now that they try and make a game that literally appeals to the people that maybe just buy one or two games a year, and it's going to be Call of Duty, and
the other game's FIFA.
Action, and or GTA or whatever. So I think you're absolutely right. You can't really group them together in this particular case.
I'd love to get the conversation happening out there. If you are streaming this one, feel free to comment on there, or if you're on social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, hashtag WeekInGeek. What do you reckon? Which one's better? Do we have to choose? Why are they paired up against each other? My favourite are and this has happened a lot on the Geek Bomb Facebook page with comments, it's people being really pro-one and really negative. They're going, no, screw you. Battlefield's the best because of this, COD because SOD. And then you've got the other ones going, oh, you're only saying that because you don't even know how to play games. And it's Call of Duty is always going to be better, and you just can't accept it. And I'm just there going, hero. So yeah, that's what I've put out to you guys. I want to know, is there a legitimate versus in comparison with these two games, or are they completely separate entities? Would you buy both?
Can we all live together with love?
Harmony. Fantastic. Alrighty, moving on again. We are talking movies. Oh, no, we're talking Steph. Hey, girl.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
You, all about you. So, for people, obviously a lot of people streaming this know who you are already, but for those that don't, give us a bit of a sell. Otherwise, I'll do it.
Okay, my name is Stephanie, but I go by Hex, which is my gamer tag, and I host a show called Good Game on ABC2, which is a video game review show, but we also cover news and we do field stories that are about the, oh god, oh that's me, oh that's more pictures of me, news story.
Khaleesi.
and just things that are happening in the industry as well. And we also have a kids version of that show that airs on the kids channel called Good Game Spawn Point. And now we've got a wrap-up edition as well that we do on Saturdays. It's just an expanding beast.
At the moment you are doing the Christmas special. You've already filmed that one. Can you give us a sneak peek onto what we can expect for that?
Yeah, so the episode prior we did our whole kind of console comparison and everything for next gen. So with the Christmas special we're just focusing on a few more of the new releases. So we're going to look at Forza, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, and Tearaway as well, and a couple of other games. And then we do, probably one of my favourite thing that we do all year is we do our... Barjo, that my co-host and I do our year in review, so I get to go back. Because it's so funny when you're reviewing a bunch of games a week, you tend to just forget what you've played. Like it's just nuts. So I like to be able to go back and be like, oh yeah, that game, that was amazing, and wax lyrical about, you know, everything that I loved and didn't like about gaming for 2013. And it's always great as well because Barjo and I are so different in the way that we approach games. That's why it's great, I suppose, to have both of our opinions on the show. And he goes into intense detail about frame rates and the graphical improvements and stuff and on various different things, whereas I'm just like... And then when I was playing The Last of Us, the way it made me feel. So a lot of I get very flowery and poetic about, but that's just, you know, my emotional
connection
to games is strong.
That's so, what they want, I think.
That's
great though. You
know. So you've been doing Good Game for many a year now. Out of all the games that you've reviewed, you're definitely in triple figures for how many you have. Which one was the hardest game review you've ever had to do? Which one did you pick up and you're like, it is physically almost impossible for me to play another minute of this piece of shit?
You know what? It always ends up being like the ones that we do. A lot of them are the ones that we do for the kids show, actually, for Spawn Point. It's like 101 mini games or something like that. Yeah. Or like Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll. you know, things like that, like that are just not enjoyable for anyone to play, let alone someone who plays professionally. It's just, you know, you want something that's with substance in it. And even the worst, you know, big games have something to bring to the table, whereas I think some of those games just, it feels like they haven't even tried.
With the games, have you, because you obviously have such a high turnover rate and you just churn through them all, have you had a game that you loved so much and you still haven't finished it, but you're trying to figure out the time when you can because it was amazing?
Yeah.
Like, a pile of shame.
Dragon's Dogma. I've been back into that game so many times and I've just never finished it. And then
I love it.
DLC has come out for it and expansions and things and I just never get through it. But it's the one that I always go back to. But it's tough as well, you know, so I kind of
did you know that I leveled up Hazel?
Yeah, I know, I saw.
You're welcome. Brought her on board. She's a bit
I hope you haven't been getting her into any mischief. She's a good girl.
She's just a warrior. I needed the balance. But yeah. I was like, Hazel? Okay, go on an adventure. It felt kind of weird. It was like, it's like you go, oh, I've got a cousin from Germany that's just staying for a little bit. Can you look after her and just show her around? That's what it
I know.
Like.
It's weird, isn't it? And you get really attached to them, even though they're these weird kind of zombie drones who are like, I'll do anything for you, Arisen.
Yeah. Stuff would be done to your character.
You too. Right, cool. Fight to the death.
I would love to know, because your job is one of the most coveted jobs by gamers out there, what is the best thing about your job and what is the worst thing about your job?
The best thing is probably It sounds really sentimental, but I would say that the people that I work with, when we all sit around and have our production meetings and we just throw around ideas and, you know, everyone on our team is a gamer and we're all such good friends. My friendship with Barjo in particular is just, it's, I can't believe that I get to do what I do for a job and have such an awesome friendship with the person that I work with. It just feels so unlikely and so awesome. So the people are what make the show. The game is that, you know, everything that kind of goes into it comes from, you know, gamer sense of humor and geek humor and that real geek passion. So I really love that. And the worst, I guess, would be just the deadlines of working for TV. You know, some games are so long and you want to be able to put a leisurely amount of time into things, but there'll be often, you know, big RPGs and things that I have to, like, sort of rush through the storyline to try and get through it more, and I end up, well, I'll generally go back and play those games again later in my own time, usually, like, now in my holiday break. I mean, it's not really... as far as the worst thing goes, it's not bad, but that, you know, it impacts my social gaming a little bit, I guess I would say as well. It's not really like, it's not really bad things.
It's a violin, you're okay.
Those are the only bad things that I can think of.
There was a photo that popped up in the little slideshow that we have of you. You were on the Ladies in Gaming panel last year, which was kind of like the big first foray that Geek Bomb had, and it was a really cool, it was really cool to hear your story about being a female in games. Don't get, don't feel like we're ostracizing you, Richard, being the only guy on the panel. We do like to have to open it up.
But we're ostracizing you.
Hey, yes, it's not a bad problem to have.
That would be nice. I kind of wanted to go over parts of the Ladies in Gaming panel just to see if there has been an improvement from last year with, you know, the acceptance, with misogynistic behaviour, et cetera, et cetera. And then I also want to move forward with the panel that we had this year because you went on it and I would love to know your thoughts on it too. So we'll start with the first one.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say that I've always been treated fairly well in the industry, like by my peers and by people that I work with. You know, I work with a lot of other games journalists, or I'll see them at events and things, and there's never ever, from my experience, been anyone who, you know, I deal with on a professional level who's ever treated me any differently, which is awesome. As far as the misogynistic stuff goes, I think that kind of, it's not really isolated to women in gaming. I think that's just women in general in the workplace. It's just unfortunate that, you know, I deal with internet correspondence a lot more than somebody who might work in a hospital or something else. So, you know, I try to sort of ignore it as best I can, but, you know, sometimes people will link me to some things, you know, forums and weird stuff. There's one forum out there that somebody just goes through and, like, takes screenshots of me every, like, they just go through and they screenshot the episode, and every time I lean forward to get out of my chair to go read the news, they'll screenshot it just to get, like, a hint of cleavage, which I just think is so, like, who's got the time? And it's just, like, blurry, like, out of focus, like, totally unattractive shot of, like, a bit of, like, cleavage. But, you know, people are crazy the way they go looking for that. I try to dress pretty conservatively in general, but, you know, they'll find it. So it's just bizarre. It's bizarre that people will go looking for that stuff and that they go out of their way to sexualize you, even if you try hard not to sexualize yourself.
It's hard when you've got a fantastic body.
I wouldn't say that. But
and then this year we had the Foot in the Door panel, and that was all about kind of getting your start in the games industry. Yours was completely almost by chance. I mean, you did have to nail your audition, which you did, but it's not an easy industry to get in. So I just wanted to hear a few tips from you and some advice that you can give other people, whether they want to be a graphics designer or a journalist, or, you know, probably you can relate to the media side more, but just the bits of advice that you give out the most.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what I had to do to land this job was I had to submit some game reviews to show that I could, because that's, you know, a large part of my job. You know, I'm unlike most television presenters who kind of will, you know, work from content that other people have written. You know, we write all our own reviews for the show, and I capture all the game footage, and I put together a lot of the production work and stuff as well. So I had to submit reviews of games as well as do a screen test. Wow. And so I'd say that if you're looking to get into, you know, games journalism in general, you just really need to be writing about games and putting your thoughts on on paper or on screen or whatever, you know, as much as possible, because the more that you can demonstrate that kind of critical thinking, the better chance you have of showing someone, that, you know, what you're capable of. And if it's sort of television that you want to get into, it's tough because unfortunately there aren't many jobs out there like mine.
And Steph and I have already got them. I'm kidding.
But I'm sure that will change, you know. Now that people are sort of, you know, gaming is becoming, you know, more commonplace and more accepted and things like that. So I would just, in the past I've told people maybe start a YouTube channel and stuff like that before, but I would also be very careful about what you put out there. You know, one of the things I've definitely had to deal with is, you know, I started my life on the internet quite young, and then moving into television, I then had to go and backtrack and try and take all the dumb things I've ever put on the internet off the internet, because people will search for it and they will find it.
So, like what, Hex?
So, yeah, I would say, you know, start a YouTube channel if you want to kind of start talking about games and things that, you know, you find interesting, or if you want to do some little reviews and things like that, but also just be very wary of yourself and what you perhaps wouldn't want on film, I don't know, in 5 years.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about with the foot in the door panel, the video is up. If you're watching it on the YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe, scroll down, it's the foot in the door. It goes for about an hour. There's some pretty key people within the Australian games industry that tell their story. It's a pretty good watch if you are interested to know more about that. Also, all of the panelists have said if you have any direct questions to them, they're more than happy to answer them. So we've got someone who's a games designer, we've got media, we had PR, we covered a lot of the bases there. Or if people want to see more of you and they don't have the ABC, there's iView, and there's plug yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, the ABC website is just abc.net.au/goodgame. TV, I think, or just, no, it's just Good Game, and, or you can just search Good Game. We're also on YouTube. Spawn Point just gone up on YouTube as well. You can look for Good Game TV, and we put all our episodes up there, as well as just individual reviews. The good thing about the ABC is that we can just spread ourselves everywhere. We don't have to worry about advertising or anything like that, so wherever you can watch us, go for it. And yeah. I don't really have a personal website or anything like that. I've got a Tumblr, which is just Hexington, tumblr.com/Hexington, and I'm on Twitter at Hexdef. I don't really give out my gamer tags, but you can now follow me on Xbox One. My gamer tag is Hexdef. I've got like 5 gamer tags because I spread them all across because I, you know, for work and for personal, and then I forgot half of them. So, but that one, I don't really share much except just video uploads and stuff. So far, the only thing I've uploaded is me passing Barjo in Forza 5.
Not bad.
Quick question, Hex. How many times have you gone online, either on Facebook or Xbox or whatever the platform was, and found that someone had created a fake profile of you?
It doesn't happen too often because I think people catch on pretty quickly. So that I don't really get a lot of fake accounts and things like that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
We are opening up the forum of the questions. So if you do have any questions for Steph or Hex, she's more than happy to answer them if they are appropriate. Please keep it clean. You can use the hashtag WeekendGeek on Twitter at us directly, or you can comment in the section right here. And we'll do that at the end of the show. Moving on to Minute Movies, the movie chat. We're talking about movies.
I totally not get it.
Should do a movie announcer voice.
But I can get the video.
Why don't you just tell me the movie you want to see?
Seinfeld? Anyone?
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I should have got that. My bad.
That's my favorite thing out of all of them. In a world where Tara gets the clip up quickly.
I have all the... What do you want? What clips do you want?
Oh, I just want the...
The intro?
No, yeah, the distractions. Merlin.
Oh, there was a cat.
Hello. Oh my gosh, the cat's out.
I'll play the trailer or something.
He was
if you
sleeping,
want.
So.
Let's play the trailer.
Okay.
Oh, kitty.
When things go wrong on the internet, cats.
Cats.
We're a professional bunch. highly professional.
Always have a cat on.
They know our strategies.
Whoa!
They've learned our weaknesses. And the alien attack nearly destroyed us. That must never be allowed to happen again. If we're going to survive, we need a new kind of soldier. One who doesn't think the way we think. Fear the things we fear. One the enemy would never expect. We need minds like yours, Ender.
As a kid.
You'll be the finest commander we've ever trained.
So I'm not the first?
No. But you will be the last.
I'll do everything I can to win this war. You really don't see them as children, do you?
If you succeed, you will be remembered as a hero.
Long ass trailer. Cool! So, everyone knows that Ender's Game was originally written by Orson Scott Card, who's come under fire within the last 12 months for being not only a Mormon with strong views, but strong anti-gay views, which I am not okay with. But the book was written kind of in the mid-80s. It had critical acclaim. It is a really good book. I read it, like the Harry Potter last book, in one sitting. I started it, and I finished it, and then I realized I needed to go to the toilet. Who else has read the book?
Wow. I have also read the book. I read the first one. I haven't, no.
I only read the first one. I think, has anyone seen the movie?
No, not yet.
Baby, have you seen the movie? Baby.
I'm sorry, Hex, I like how Richard has seen your category.
I'm really passionate about, you know, sci-fi. Yeah, I've raised your baby. Okay. it's as you... So
you raised her a baby by raising a baby.
Oh, Wonder Woman baby.
Oh, come on, you're awesome. I raised a baby. This is Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Possibly the coolest kid. I just thought I'd add to the fangirl.
We got a bombette.
Oh, she's waving. See, can you see her waving? Kind of. She's doing a Queen's wave.
Right. She's a bumble.
I'm going to pass it back off. No. Sorry, I get lost in everything because she's so gorgeous, and I'm responsible for raising a gay girl, which is awesome. The book, I'm a bit torn with the book because whilst I'm a lover of sci-fi, a lover of reading and Harrison Ford, wow. I'm hesitant to kind of watch both, bringing back to what Maud said about the homophobic, because I'm also passionate about gay marriage and equal rights. And
I can't just shove it under the rug.
I can't. Like so many, the actors in the film have come out in defence of it, saying, it's true. Like they're saying, if you read the book, it's contradictory to what he believes. But it's still kind of tainted, in my opinion.
I find it fascinating that Mormons,
you know,
with
I can
Christian
kind of
beliefs,
get past Clint Eastwood being a crazy chair talking guy,
can write science fiction because science fiction is the belief of science, and if you are Christian,
no.
Then, well, I mean, it's like if God made Adam and Eve, did God also make all the other alien races that you're writing about?
Yeah,
I don't know. That seems a bit contradictory for me.
Yeah. They can argue that it's, you know, they're writing fiction and then... Oh, no, get me started.
Okay, true. All right, okay. Have you...
No, not political.
So, at the moment, in Sydney, the premiere is on tonight. So, Steph, thank you for being here instead of premiere. I was at the premiere in LA a couple of weeks ago and I got to interview Sir Ben Kingsley, Harrison Ford. Yes, he is as grumpy as you thought he would be. I thought I asked a good question. The one that I spoke to about said it was a good question. He did not find it a good question. Tara, are we going to just play a snippet of what I caught on the red carpet for Ender's Game in LA?
So, I mean, anytime you make a book into a movie, readers have a vision of someone in their mind. So it's just kind of, when you read a book, you cast the characters in your mind. So yeah. People aren't always going to be happy, but you have to do what you can, and you have to try to satisfy the fans of the book and then also new people who are coming in to see the movie for the first time.
I've been working on it for about 4 years. It was a complicated book to translate to the screen because it beautifully describes what the character of Ender Wiggin is thinking and feeling, which is trickier to do in a film, but of course in a film we have living, breathing actors, and fortunately we managed to attract a cast that are really talented and have tremendous emotional range, find a young actor like Asa Butterfield, who I think has tremendous range, and in the film, you know, off a single reaction shot, you can intuit so much of what someone is thinking.
I have read the book, definitely.
Read it before you got the role.
Before I even knew the movie existed.
And
I was like, this should be a really intense movie should they ever decide to make it, and they made it, and I'm here, so it's really exciting. It's actually one of my favorite sci-fi books, actually one of my favorite books of all time, actually.
Well, I read it when I was 12 years old, and I just liked that it celebrated intelligence, that it didn't talk down to me, that it was complicated, that it predicted so many. I never understood what the internet was back then in this book, and suddenly here it is, and I still don't understand it.
Gavin worked so hard to translate the novel to a screenplay. And it's the novel is an internal process, an experience, and the film is an externalized experience. And he really worked hard to almost turn the novel inside out so that we could see what's inside someone's head, what they're experiencing.
I think one of the tricky things in the book, which is immediately obvious, is that in the book he's 6 years old, and by the end of the book he's 13 years old. And in a movie which is 2 hours long, if you're changing actors on the audience every 10 minutes, it can be really jump you out of the story. So what I decided early on is we would have to compress the storyline into about 9 months to a year in order to use the same actor. We shot in sequence, so our young actor grew 2 inches during the course of filming. And of course, at the beginning of the movie, our young actor, Asa Butterfield, was a little intimidated by Harrison Ford, which was great.
Who's not? Are you intimidated by?
Totally intimidated by Harrison Ford. I still am. But it was great for the movie because at the beginning, Ender Wiggin is intimidated by Colonel Graf. By the end of the movie, he'd gotten out of Harrison, and just like the character of Ender, he was ready to give him a piece of his mind.
I think the anti-bullying message to me really resonated, and I think it's resonated for many generations of kids. There's something about Ender's isolation and his sense of purpose and what he's who he's trying to be as an adult, as a child in an adult's world, given literally the biggest responsibility that any human being on the planet could have.
You know, people have been asking, will there be a sequel? And the truth is, we just don't like to count our sequels before they hatch. I think we've got to see how the film is received. And hopefully, if audiences enjoy the film, so please go see the film in Australia. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's what I got from the carpet. I think maybe this is a little bit too soon to compare the book to the movie if the movie's only just coming out in Australia tonight. Speaking out to all of our Americans and everyone else outside of the Southern Hemisphere, your thoughts, please. We'd love to hear in the discussions. Do you think the movie is good? I personally think that if you haven't read the book, the movie just won't make much sense to you. There is so much exposition about the wars, and there is so the whole book is a psychological journey. You really, really get inside Ender's brain, and you hear his entire thought process. Something that is very, very hard to do in a movie. Basically, you just saw Asa Butterfield for about an hour going, and that doesn't actually mean anything to anyone who hasn't read the book. So that are my thoughts. Please share your 2 cents. Use the hashtag WeekendGeek. Make sure you comment while watching the stream. We've got Facebook and Twitter, GeekBomb and GeekBombshells, to continue that discussion.
I think it's good to note as well that it's actually only made $80 million worldwide. I think it's been out for a week. So it's not even close to breaking even yet.
And they have set it up for a sequel, so I have no idea if that will be happening.
That's awkward.
I highly doubt it.
And I think that this may have something to do with the boycott. It was all over social medias that to boycott the movie, to not watch it, to make sure that Orson Scott Card doesn't make any money out of it. But I guess it's kind of hard because one man wrote the book, but then hundreds of other people have invested into the movie. So it's like to punish one, a lot have to suffer.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So, I mean, that's another one as well. Cool, that is Movie Minute. Done. We are now using the last 15 minutes of this live stream for WeekendGeek to ask the questions from the feed. So if, I don't know if anyone's been commenting, but if you have been, this is the chance to ask your questions right now as we
there
answer them.
There are a lot of comments and a lot of questions.
I'm going to have to ask just to keep discussion on it just to a minimum. Whoever it's directed at, can we just answer it as quickly as possible?
Yeah, that's
and
my fault,
outside of this, we can continue the discussion if you just wanted more details. Tara, hit us with some questions.
Okay, I'm just trying to find something where... Oh, okay, here's one. Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 12 duck-sized horses from Ben Horde?
12 duck-sized horses.
Yeah, same.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like that question's kind of obvious.
Plus, duck-sized horses would be adorable.
A horse-sized duck would be terrifying.
Yes.
The next question. What is better, Fallout or Skyrim from Daniel Porter?
Skyrim.
Skyrim.
For sure.
I'm going to disagree. Easily. I like Fallout more. I'm sorry, Internet. But yeah, I'm going to be kind of Fallout.
Someone called, I think it's Cubby, it could be QB, keeps telling me to tell Richard that they love him, and it's aww. There's like five of them. I'm not sure who that is.
That's pretty cute.
He'll react in 8 seconds.
Richard the Nerd, Twitter handle. Oh,
cool. There's a lot of people saying that they're looking forward to Wolverine, or they liked Wolverine, because they like Hugh Jackman.
Someone else commented, though, saying that Hugh Jackman... Like playing Wolverine is done. He's been doing it for too long and they
that's
need to replace
Hugh. That's not an excuse, though.
Do you think that Hugh needs to be replaced?
Like, we love Hugh.
I see that argument, yeah.
As an actor.
Who would they replace him with, though?
Perfect. Yeah, Hugh Jackman's perfect Wolverine.
I think it's
yeah,
probably
back
the
in the day, the first X-Men film that was being developed
sorry
in the early 90s,
sorry to go
they
off
originally
track
had Bob
Hoskins. But you know, did you hear they recast... Dario Naharis in Game of Thrones.
What?
Yeah. No more. That sexy dude who looked nothing like the actual
Dario
in the book.
Oh,
wow, that's
totally
right.
Recast.
That's true. But the new guy is quite pretty.
I know, but I feel like that's really poor form to recast someone after they've already had a few substantial scenes. Like, it's going to be super awkward.
Yeah. Yes, but
like,
apparently audiences
just, like,
really didn't
done some kind of weird hair and makeup with him, given him some kind of fake beard or, I don't know, I thought the guy was fine. He just, you know... wardrobe-wise and makeup-wise didn't really look like the character from the book, but I don't think he really needed to be recast.
Bit harsh.
Gonna be weird.
Wow. I know, it's like, if you don't get the job, you don't have to tell anyone to have it really public. You know, I have the job and I've been replaced. That's a deep burn. Lucky winter's coming.
There's a question from Ian Connors. He wants to know what your favourite gaming snack is.
What? Sorry, gaming what?
Yeah. Favourite gaming what?
Snack.
Coming, snack, yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Right there.
Oh, snacks.
Skittles.
Yeah, I like anything small that you can eat lots of. So, like, like Skittles or M&M's or, like, I like sweet things, so I always go sweet over salty.
I like the Scotch finger biscuits.
But you're
the
sweet enough,
on one side.
That's a bit nana, Danny.
You're a bit nana.
Scotch fingers.
Oh, I'm so hungry.
You're too much tea. And that's problematic.
You're having a breakfast.
Chocolate all over your fingers.
You can't bag me out about tea, okay?
And then what do? You need to have a little hand wiping station.
Okay, I'm not, you know, mentally retired, Steph. I got this.
Question for you, Steph. Any games, Hex, any games that you've reviewed and then you've drastically changed your mind with?
Probably, this is kind of tough, like, we've had a bit of trouble on the show reviewing games that, are episodic, like The Walking Dead, for example, because, you know, that they're released episodically, so we'll review the first episode, because we have to review things when they're topical. We can't wait till the whole game comes out, because by then, you know, it's kind of old news to a lot of people. So we'll review the first episode with the caveat that, you know, a lot could change, and we really hated the episode one of Walking Dead. Well, we didn't really hate it, it just wasn't, you know, it didn't really do anything for us. But then, once we played the whole thing, we thought it was amazing. So, it's hard. I think in those situations, we've decided that we're just not going to score them and just review the first episode and then, yeah.
So to not judge a book by its cover. All right. You've got Mobster WoW, who wants thoughts on the tragic passing of Paul Walker and about Fast and Furious 7 being finished. Can I take this one? I interviewed Paul Walker twice 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God.
So... I was flying out to Atlanta for the Fast and Furious 7 set visit, where I spoke to The director, James Wan, who's Aussie, is pretty cool, and Paul and Vin Diesel. I kind of paid Paul out, which sucks now. I was like, are you excited to get the team back together? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, are you excited? Because you fooled me. And then the next time I talked to him, he remembered me, and he's like, oh, hey, Maude, yeah, all right, cool, we're in LA. And then I noticed he wasn't wearing shoes, and so I was like, oh, cool, shoes off party. And I took my shoes off, and then we spoke about thongs for a minute, about being in Queensland and how you have to wear thongs all the time. But a thong in America is a G-string.
Flip-flops.
And jandals. So, yeah, that I found that yesterday when I was about to do a 12-hour live stream for Stereo Sonic, and it hit me in the gut. I don't know what they're going to do about Fast and Furious 7. When I was there 3 weeks ago, they'd only filmed half of it. They still had to do location shots for Dubai. Hey, Dubai. London, I think there was as well. And stuff back in LA. So
Dubai!
I don't know.
I thought it was really sad, Dubai. Of course. And it always sucks. It sucks when anyone dies, of course. It's always really sad. And then when it's someone that's been in the spotlight, the wave of sadness that it creates is always really depressing. The only thing that... the only thing that annoyed me a bit was no one has said anything about his friend that was in the car that also
driver,
died,
the
which his
driver.
Name was Roger Rodas, and yeah, I feel like we should all spare a thought for him as well, because it sucks, because that's two families that are grieving right now. It's really sad.
They must have been going so fast. The I don't know if anyone's seen a photo of the impact.
Yeah.
The car is just destroyed, and it
oh,
was
oh my god,
yeah, like it burst into flames.
Just
dreadful.
Yeah.
So
just dreadful.
Mm.
It really shocks you when you see something like that, you know?
Yeah, that's real.
Like, that car was literally, like, melted everywhere. It was awful.
Mm.
Awful.
Ryan, which is at Raph Zombie, the I being a 3, do we play a good guy or a bad guy in RPGs if we have a choice, like for Mass Effect and all that? What do we do?
Always a good guy for me.
Same.
I've been
always a good guy.
I've tried to play a bad guy. I've tried so hard, and I always just end up going back to good. Because for me, like, I feel guilty. a personal fantasy experience. Like, I put myself in the role of that character as much as possible, and so I always want to be the hero. I always want to save the day. And, you know, every time I do bad things in a game, I feel like it's me doing it, and that's not me, man.
I always go ultra chaotic evil, but very rarely.
Would you like to kill the mother and child? Kill
yes.
them all.
No, very rarely I use something fast in the game, and I feel like I'm saying, you're lucky.
Yeah. If you knew the power of the dark side.
I'm kind of the I'm the good guy who tries, like, as soon as I make a mistake, like GTA, the last one. I would try so hard to not speed, to not go through a red light, to not accidentally shoot that old lady in the face. But then when it happens, I just go, and I'm all guns blazing. And I'll be that, I'll have 5 stars in about 30 seconds.
And you'll shoot 9 old ladies in the face.
has anyone else got another question? I'm searching through.
Yeah, I got one. Ty asks, my PS3 is on its last legs. What console should I get and why?
I think I get asked this question a lot, and I feel like it really depends on the kind of games that you're into, and also, I guess, where most of your friends are. Because, you know, if you're going to be playing, if you're going to be gaming with a lot of people and you know, with your friends, you obviously want to be on the same platform that they are. But I think the two next-gen consoles are pretty comparable with each other, to be honest. They both look pretty great, and they're both going to have, you know, they both have a bunch of different features that are awesome. So I think it really just comes down to you personally. What kind of games do you like to play? What sort of exclusive
Uncharted
IPs 4
on the PS4?
Like yeah, things like yeah, that really, really matter to you. Because it's not a decision that anyone else can make for you, I think.
Can I interject quickly?
Yeah.
You may.
Sorry, Hex. I just wanted to, like, just... I think you kind of brushed over that. But do you actually know who's asking a question? Like, this guy's on Supernatural. Like, he's kind of a big deal. He was in X-Men and stuff. And you're just like, yeah, it's Ty. And I'm like, Tyleson. Like, you just, like, completely brushed over it. It was like it's a celebrity asking a question. You totally brushed over it.
It came from a celebrity asked that question.
Hey.
Hello, celebrities watching.
Oh, that's the person you're flirting with on Twitter. That makes sense.
Wrong. Irritated Pie wants to know, Hex, what's the headset you're using?
I'm sorry, robot woman, say again.
What headset are you wearing currently?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not supposed to get into branding stuff. It's just a Plantronics Gamescom. It's nothing fancy. I used to have one of those cool SteelSeries ones that was pink, but the microphone was really, really bad. So I started using this one that I had prior, and it's pretty good. I really want to get one of those ones that is you can use it across PS3 and PS4 and Xbox One and PC, but I'm not sure. I have a friend that has one that. It just is really bad. It's not noise cancelling at all, and you can hear everything out of it. So, that's all.
What else have we got? Any other questions? Tara, where would we go?
Nothing really. There's tons, but they're not really questions. People are just commenting on things.
Oh, we love the comments.
Steph, how much archery do you do now? Because this guy, A. Chapman, has just started it with his wife because of you.
Yeah, I haven't done a lot lately. My local archery club in Coogee has just kind of exploded in membership just because of the Hunger Games and things like that. So I used to kind of rock up on a Sunday and it was kind of chill. And you try and get there early before anyone else. And, you know, there's a members section and everything that I go to because we all have our own gear and stuff like that. But just each week, gradually, just more and more people just wanting to, like, try it out and join and stuff like that, it becomes really hard to get, you end up with about 6 or 7 people to a target, which just gets a bit too crowded. So I'm kind of hoping that it'll quieten down and I can start going back again, maybe in the winter. I just really want to live somewhere where I can just have a target in my backyard and just shoot arrows by myself. But I think I live in an apartment block with a lot of families and children and stuff, so it's probably not the best.
Well, you could do it. It just might not end that great.
Lots of target practice.
What?
Target practice.
Oh, the children. Yeah.
Awesome.
Lol.
There's another question. Matthew Nope asks, what's the worst game of 2013? For anyone.
I think Aliens Colonial Marines is a
pretty good one. I agree.
Let down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
especially
you
because,
that.
You know, that has such a big fan base. That's, like, devastating for them. They would have been so excited.
Wasn't there an issue with its production that it swapped studios
like 5 years
halfway through?
Or something. Yeah, it was a bit of a disaster.
Crazy.
It was a nice kind of set tour of, like, locations that you'd recognize from the films and stuff. So from a fan perspective, that was kind of nice. But the gameplay was pretty crap.
That was kind of like me with Prometheus. Like, I'm such an Alien fan. And when I saw the trailer for Prometheus, I went, oh, my God, the space jockey! Ah! But then it was a rubbish film, so.
I still haven't seen it.
You don't need to.
It's scary.
Yeah, I'm not even scary.
I thought so.
Steph, another one for you. Sorry, Hex. Registratus has said, did a young Hex write fan fiction ever?
I never really wrote fan fiction, but I wrote a lot of, like creative fantasy pieces, because I've always read heaps of fantasy, fantasy fiction, so I would try and write my own. I think I've started about, 42 chapter ones. But my problem at the moment is that I get an idea for a couple of characters or a scenario and I will write that, but I have no concept of world building or, a greater universe, which is pretty much central to any fantasy series. So I've done a few courses and things, and I think I'll probably write a book one day, but it's probably not going to be until I'm in my sort of late 30s and living a quieter life.
Got a novelist. A future. So it's not young Hex, it's going to be future Hex.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be a sort of middle-aged, partied out Hex.
Chris, who is otherwise known as Kamidogu, I will never get that right. Kamidogu. Wants to know where the guacamole is.
That's Saber. That's a nickname he has for Saber. She's on the chat, she's just not here.
Hi, Saber. She's got FOMO, which stands for fear of missing out. Open up to the panel. Does the panelist want to ask anyone else a question? Dead silence.
We caught that.
That tumbleweed rolled by.
Hey Tara, how's the toilet?
It's not too bad in here. It's cool.
Actually, I've got a question. I've got a question for everyone.
Do you have a number?
What are we nice. Do we have? Are we excited about the new Star Wars film? Which characters would you like to see?
Yeah, it's coming out. That Star Wars film and the new Warcraft movie are going to be coming out on the same day. It's going to be like Nerds Day Out.
Really?
And they're so different that you would actually walk into one movie, finish it, and walk into the other one.
Yeah, right?
Movie marathon.
Yeah. How cool.
And the guy directing
Warcraft
is the guy who did Moon, David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones.
Great
he's
movie.
Incredible.
Oh, Sam Rockwell's so great, isn't he?
He's a... someone ruined the ending of Moon to someone I was with after I saw
it. Oh, that's your spoiler.
that's the worst spoiler. If you've seen Moon, you'll understand, but that was terrible. Well, on Star Wars, they've confirmed one character for the film, and do we know who it is?
R2-D2.
Yes, and I watched Star Wars pretending that R2-D2, or imagining R2-D2 was a woman. She's in love with C-3PO, and unfortunately C-3PO is gay, therefore doesn't return the affection.
That's
so it's kind of tragic if you look at R2-D2.
I thought it was just R2-D2
pretending to be a male.
This sounds like a fan
maybe.
It does sound suspiciously fan fiction that you've written many pages on.
and here's a copy, quick, get it out.
From the panel side, if
Chapter
everyone wants
one.
To...
Chapter 1, R2-D2 gently strokes...
What they're playing at the moment and on what console. So we're just called, what we're playing. I am playing, even though I have an Xbox One, I'm still playing Assassin's Creed 4 on the 360. Danny?
I've recently, a bit behind, but I've gotten into Thomas Was Alone on PC, and rectangles are making me cry. It's beautiful.
Dev, Hex?
I'm playing a bit of Forza 5, and I'm now replaying Assassin's Creed 4 on next gen because I wanted that sweet, sweet next gen graphics. Yeah.
That are too crisp, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit too much.
Richard!
Weird. I'm playing Batman Arkham Origins, and as you can... So predictable. And as you can see from behind me, I nearly wet myself being Batman. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I like the penguin ship. Where he decks out, guts out the big cruise liner. Yeah, I saw that in Montreal. That was beautiful.
No, it's...
Just wanted a location drop.
Yeah,
there.
No, that's made its way, I think, into the recent comics. But he's got a casino out on the water, which is awesome. But that's what I'm playing at the moment.
Ziana, aka Maddie, what are you playing?
Assassin's Creed. I haven't played as much as Tara has, but then again, I don't think anybody can play as much as Tara does.
It's been like under a week.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, 2 weeks. I did it in 2 weeks.
It's fastly becoming a lot of people's game of the year, surprisingly, Assassin's Creed 4. Mm.
Well, luckily that in one of the Weekend Geeks to come this year, we will be doing a Game of the Year special.
Mm. Nice segue, Maud.
Make sure you subscribe to this. and Tara, what are you playing now that
you're doing this year? I still have to get my treasure on Assassin's Creed, which is taking a really long time. And then I'm going to probably just play some Ghosts multiplayer, maybe.
Mm. We can play together. Let's make a clan! Sorry. I got too excited.
Shell.
Yay!
The bomb shelter.
The bomb shelter.
The bomb shelter.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this week's Week in Geek, where we reflected on all things geek during the week. Big shout out to Richard the Nerd, who was our fanboy for this week. If you want to get involved in the show and be our fanboy or fangirl, email in geekbombshells@gmail.com and tell us why you should be on our panel. Show. Massive love to the gorgeous Hex, aka Stephanie Bendixson.
Yay! Thanks for having me.
Us hanging out. Oh, I've got this. Can we hug? I haven't seen you. Hello.
You're so close to each other right now.
Well, don't put your head there. Yeah.
I'm leaning for a hug too on the internet.
I can see your cleavage.
Hey, look how high this neck is, baby.
And don't forget, we have a Twitter account at Bombshells. We are on Facebook /GeekBomb. And if you haven't subscribed to this, well, then it's a very sad day for you indeed. So just hit like if you liked this video. And if you loved it, share it. Share the love. This has been Geek Bomb, and the bomb has been dropped.
The bomb has been dropped.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. The bomb has been dropped. Thanks. See ya.